Before we begin today's topic, I would like to share a bit about the foundation of all of the Inspiring Human Potential Inner Growth content. What you learn about and what we discuss has its foundation in a lifelong accumulated research that involves the fields of humanities and social sciences, philosophy, with a focus on existentialism, and recently added basics of neuroscience, physiology, and biology. This research continues, and the wealth of information that I share across different platforms is in the effort to support your inner growth, self-empowerment, conscious living, ascension, awakening, and personal development journey in a way that allows you to understand the distinct human characteristics involved in your day-to-day and overall life, alongside the choices you make, how you feel, and deal with events such as the unknown and unwanted. A simplified breakdown, just to give you an idea, and for the IHP community to keep in mind as you pursue inner growth and self-empowerment, is what is involved in the human's response to day-to-day events in life happening. We have been able to review this, and we always review some aspects throughout the episodes and all the content. One, the body's nervous system's defense mechanism, flight-fight response. 2, the heart's feelings, emotions, ego, self response. 3, the mind's conscious, subconscious, and conscious response alongside the established neural pathways, societal culture and knowledge filters, identity, secondary and primary consciousness aspects. This and more is what is involved as you tune into and read the IHP content, whether it be on the blog, the YouTube channel, patron membership site, or the website itself, or the podcast. You will always get to learn something about how to apply an inner growth mindset and lifestyle approach, how to follow your heart and lead with it, with that unconditional love, neutrality that we so much discuss, why it's important, and all of this allows you to tap into that infinite higher human potential, which is also a response that one acquires as a body, mind, and heart that is one within you with that ownership. Welcome back to my lovely IHP community, and any new listener, welcome to this lovely day. And hopefully it is a lovely day as you all are applying the inner growth mindset, the regular listeners, those of you who are new. This is a mindset, a journey, a lifestyle that is geared to support people who are on a personal development journey, so they know about expanding of consciousness, both from the spirituality concept and perspective to the psychology, psychiatry, counseling, coaching perspectives, again, of personal development. So they will embrace human and spiritual elements. Also, I am a person who talks and will be integrating more and more verbiage from the ascension community. So these are individuals who talk about 5-dimension, 4-dimension, 3-dimension. These are states of consciousness, and it is to support those who are not actually expanding to 5D consciousness because they're in a 4D mindset, which is in duality, or 3D. That would be, again, duality, and the blame game is quite a good topic to talk about duality because it's the ego self not in empowerment. So whether you want to look at it from, again, a not expanded state of consciousness, 5-dimension, by the way, is unconditional love and neutrality. They use the word light. We are all light. We are all energy. Modern science is explaining this, and sometimes we touch upon those topics, such as the holographic principle, or Greg Braden when he explained in this recent video from the Wisdom Codes course I'm taking how we are made, and he was describing through the physics. So the neuroscience, when I combine what I'm learning with the nervous system, it's always very much related. And as a Reiki master and somebody who includes that medium within the mentorship program options, I still have to put online the long-term one where we choose an objective together and we work towards that one. But when I do my sessions, the one-on-one, there's always a correlation with what through the Reiki session, I can work through, meaning, you know, the energy does, well, this is for those of you who know, Reiki is energy therapy. You can look it up, R-E-I-K-I, to find out more. But it works with the energy bodies, and our aura has like 7 of them, if I remember correctly. I'm sure that those words may be different. Like Sadhguru talks about the energy bodies, but he has a different way. He uses different words because his discipline, or the yogic discipline, I believe, has different words. So I use the ones from Reiki, is what I'm going to say right now. Anyways, I definitely need to run and make a keyword list, you know, so I can have it readily available for any questions. I showed a person that I recently had a session with the energy bodies, so the ethereal, the emotional, casual, then there's celestial, then there's another etheric, I think, so there's 7 layers. On the website, you'll find that, inspiringhumanpotential.com, all the way to the bottom. So, long story short, personality and nervous system, and the way that I've learned at this point and keep learning from the psychoeducation I'm taking to support the mentorship program, because the inner growth mindset is based anyways on the human elements. It began with a book that I started writing, and then I developed the courses, and the book and the research is based on psychology, sociology, and existentialism, because essentially every one of those conflicts, quote unquote, are an opportunity for growth, but it's only if you're in that mindset that you will be pursuing it. Fast forward, I have a lot of different experiences of my own, plus these mediums that came to be. So tarot is also one of them, and this is where my ascension journey led me to be able and discuss metaphysics, esotericism, crystals, clairs, and relating them with the human elements is what I'm doing. So anybody who's new, you'll get to learn. If you're not part of the Ascension community, you'll get to learn certain things that are part of this community. For the Ascension community, they get to learn about the human elements, which are very important, because unfortunately, those who stay in that 4D space in duality, so here the blame game, whether you're in Ascension or not, you're going to be the same child adaptive emotional response, the charged state, which means you're not actually empowering the self of you. You're not getting to the bottom of the core of you that is life. We all are a piece of consciousness, but even if we just look at it as each one of us has a personality and we have a perspective, and to give that value. So being yourself means you get into the core of that self. People say, I know who I am. Yes, but do you know who you are as an adult? Since, emotionally speaking, as long as you're in charged states, you have not gotten to know your triggers. Those triggers are trauma responses, because when we began exchanging life, and I am a firm believer from the womb, because by the way, we are this chemistry, we are our emotional environments, which can be again connected to the nervous system. The psychiatrist in one of the courses, they explained how an anxious mother, for example, who's very, very anxious, will have certain, I forget if they're what the hormone is called, if it's I forget the word for it, but they said the excess of that will cause the child to have a bigger head, if I remember correctly, because I took it like last year, this class, I'll have to revisit it. And or anyways, the child will be more inclined to be anxious themselves. And I have a couple people that I know that their parents were extremely anxious. And one is coming to mind, a very close family friend, younger, very younger than me. And they are definitely very high strung, and their mother is equally. And they have not adapted well to society. They have extreme situations, not bad, but a lot of people would consider them annoying and or not cooperative, selfish, and other aspects that when instead you meet the person, they're very sweet. They're very sweetheart. Fact, they kind of don't understand when they're getting criticized. You can tell that their feelings get hurt, and it's like a big baby. A lot of people are big babies in the real sense of it, because they did not and have not taken the time to work with their prefrontal cortex to experience the emotion. This is why Sadhguru says many are psychological cases, or he says egosensitive. That is exactly what a charge state is. You in the mind, which is FYI, separateness consciousness, this is the duality, but this is also the seat of the ego self, which which is, again, bringing the two together helps you to understand whether you are wanting to be in 5D for ascension, or whether you are like truly on board with being an unconditionally loving and neutral human being. Means that you're able to express yourself in equanimity in your ventral vagal state. The ventral vagal state, psychologically speaking, is a state of a human being who has calmness, groundedness, is in the now. They have a functional adult emotional response. So this means you're forgiving, you're open-minded. You know that people have trauma, people make mistakes. You are able to learn new skills because you don't get enraged or anxious. You do not blame or fault or throw shit at people. And I actually mean this to the extent of all of it, because there is no middle ground. I don't do middle grounds. I'm trying to support the people who want to get to be 5D self-empowered and enlightened, and not in next lifetime, this lifetime. So for those who, and when I say average, I'm talking about mainstream media, I'm talking about people who want to do duality, the ones who will justify the minute you say unconditional love with flaws and imperfections. Well, no, this thing right here, nope, that's not this thing, no. So go somewhere else, you'll enjoy their conversations more. This is like full spectrum, it's not utopistic, it's actually saying you have the ability to choose how to respond. This is what creates self-empowerment. You being able to know that you do have, yes, a way that you were wired. This is very true too. And so initially it may be a bit challenging, as one of the psychiatrists says, I'm going to ask you to do certain things that you will be uncomfortable or unfamiliar with, because they will go against your natural inclined desired response. The Sadhguru calls it compulsiveness. The psychiatrist can explain it to you. I'm doing a bit of both and saying, and now here's your option. You're going to do the blame game and be the same adaptive child emotion response, or are you going to expand your consciousness, learn to be self-empowered, then potentially choose enlightenment? Because the 5D is also potential choice. You can wear the makeup of love, and most people do. They wear these mantles and they talk about enlightenment, they talk about peace, but then they're the first to give a first punch or to get angry and or to say that friend is an asshole because they did X, Y, and Z, versus take a step back and know that nobody's an asshole and or we're all assholes. One and in the same. We are all a species that shares the same physiological makeup. Now, that for my ascension community, yes, I do perceive different types of auras, meaning the connected oversoul, or however we want to pose this, I do. But that is for those who want to stay in a 4D community. We can have these types of conversations, one in the channeled guidance more than the inner growth. However, it is important for you to stop identifying with one thing and remembering that you are life, and so you are consciousness, and you're always in a constant potential of expansion as an infinite higher human consciousness being. Your intelligence and your intellect, when working together, are at a beautiful maximum. When your intellect is alone, though, it only divides. Alongside your intelligence, it unifies. And you are able to use the ego for what it can be used, to adapt to situations and to serve and or potentially expand through empathy and being the adult in the room, not the blame game, which doesn't have any adult. Now, I've been involved in being blamed many, many times. This is actually how I learned to coexist peacefully, if you will, from within me, while all other human beings apparently didn't have an ego except for me, whether it be family or friends. I was a teenager and I saw this inconsistency, and I said, well, okay, I get it, because I read one of the first psychology books or somewhere I read about the subconscious, and so people not being able to work through their emotional stuff, or really it was hidden. It was hidden. Subconscious, it means it's hidden. And so I understood. And one of the first videos that I watched on neural networks, it was actually explaining how children who are left unattended to cry will not be able to be empathic. And epigenetics shows us that our emotional environment is important. So here the oxytocin gene, the love hormone gene, is turned off if there's not a conducive environment. So people who are assholes, I've always kind of known this, but they don't have a conducive environment to being love. And while old psychiatry mistakenly just thought it was learned behavior, The psychology of now, thanks to technology, is seeing the nervous system's response. And so beneath any type of nasty behavior is automatically an unsafe body. And that is what you are when you're in a charged state. And you're not calm or equanimous, for that matter. So here's what I had to write about the blame game when I wrote it for the Inner Growth Thought of the Day way back when. And this was before I had the nervous system information. I only had the psychology with subconscious and conscious. And I had just began learning more about the ascension stuff with crystals and metaphysics and clairs. Today I have luckily also Sadhguru in my background, and so I'm able to talk about true spirituality, which is oneness consciousness, and refer, when they say avatar or 5D, oneness means we're all one ocean. So just start recognizing this versus what the 4D community does, which is think of lower vibrations as negative. They're not negative. They're people that are in insecure bodies. This is why they're vibing in shame, guilt, pride, anything below neutrality. When you vibe that, you're also in a lower energy. When we get passionate, we're already beginning to vibe in a, it's a mix. It depends if you catch yourself. Like I catch myself and I move compassion in the room, and then that passion stays passion. But if I forget compassion at a certain point, my passion can start moving below that neutrality belt, because it's me expressing a personal opinion through passion. And those who are intuitive and empathic to the depth of degree of being able to be neutral, you guys are the ones who perceive it through my tone, through my everything, and you're picking it up with the clarity. You know what it is. Others may not. It all depends on their level of picking up those subtle layers. It's not good or bad. It just is a different level of perception. So anybody who has an in-depth perception with neutrality, not the 4D, with neutrality, is able to pick up on subtleties. And so when they hear voices, they can tell. Others who don't have their layers of likes and dislikes present yet, so here that blame game, there's also a way that their body is contributing to create, if you will, what's about to take place, because they're in defense mode just as much as the other. Now, this is a natural response as long as you're not yet in the self-empowered space, because it means you have not learned to self-regulate, which means you have not learned to access your prefrontal cortex. When that emotion is starting to rise, you engage with the temporal junction. You engage in the limbic system, you engage in the emotion, and you are then overwhelmed, quote unquote, by it. But what it is you're allowing the charge state to come and build. Because people say, well, I have a right to be angry. Nobody says you don't have, and everybody has anger. There's one thing when you're experiencing it and walking yourself through it, which is what a self-empowered person can do, doesn't mean it's immediate. It's you working with your triggers. And if you have unconsciously loving people around you, they will work with you. Because when you present to them, sorry, I got angry, they will say, it's okay, don't worry about it. And then if somebody says, you know, I'm working with this, okay, I'll work with you. How can I help you? How can I help you to work through this trigger? What can I do? Understanding that we work together when we talk. This is what the adults can do, because they can be vulnerable. They're choosing to be vulnerable. You don't need to be with a counselor. Those who do go, they at the very least recognize that both have emotional stuff going on, and they choose to do that. The ones who make headway are the ones who achieve empowerment from within. There are others who don't make headway. They label themselves and they find what they are, and then they keep living that dynamic, or they keep blaming each other. You're doing this and that triggers my attachment style. You're doing that and that triggers my... That's not you growing up. That's just you slapping the labels in each other's faces versus saying, okay, wait, we're still insecure. Our emotions are still being triggered. And I don't laugh because it's funny. I laugh. That's that laugh. And I'll probably always share that just to make sure nobody thinks. It's that laugh that this is quote unquote like, what's happening is something okay. It's not a bad thing. And sometimes you'll say, no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I have this habit of addressing. It's always to clarify and ensure that I don't get misunderstood, because many people have in the past misunderstood because of those ego sensitivities. And Therefore, I just have the habit of making sure people know that this isn't what I mean, especially if there's a disconnect. And here's that other part. There's going to be a disconnect with those who are not in touch with their own depth. They don't even know they're doing it. Which is where they'll look at you like you're the disconnected one, guys. Or they'll have like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, I can hear it in your tone. I don't know what you're talking about. But the unawareness is because they don't actually tune into their body, heart, mind. They're not aware. There's a level of consciousness that people who did not have an environmentally safe home, they don't know unconditional love. They don't know what it means to have different tones. In fact, it's quite interesting because some of them are intellectually book smart, but then when it comes to their own patterns, they have no idea. And here's where the blame game comes about. And this is when you're actually lying to yourself versus addressing the emotion that is beneath the surface. And this doesn't support you to be the person one you want to be, because most people who get to these, they don't like getting into these places. The ones who think they have a right to blame others, well, that's just cocky, and the world does not revolve around you. So no, I'm sorry, you don't know what the best way is for everybody, because otherwise it would be that way. And really, we're all different. So this to me, for example, immediately it's like, dude, I'm my person, you're your person. I don't know why you want to be an exact replica of me. I know I don't want to be an exact replica of you. It's not to be special. It's I literally don't. I still have people teasing about that because it's an Aquarius trait. And I'm an identical twin, by the way. But the person who can feel the subtleties of every life, which is what you have that access to once you're tapped into this enlightenment with the 5D empowerment, it's because of the awareness from a human perspective that every body does actually give off that dimension they are. And then as they learn to work with their own ego self, so as people become aware of these traits, they actually transform and they're able to talk about their emotions, they're able to present their triggers. This is the beauty of growing up. So people do it all the time on their own. And then some people do it with therapists, and some people do it a combination of. The ones who stay in spiritual bypassing, they do it too. The difference is they get to be a bit cocky, but it's no different than somebody who thinks that they could rule the world and be a great leader and just forget that other people exist besides them, and that, you know, that's just not nice. I'm sure that there are things that I consider okay that other people would not. And so here's that part of true acceptance and true adulthood. No, there's not one person on the planet. There's for now 7.9 billion of us, and between that and the countries and the earth, you know, we got a lot of beautiful things to work on. And the blame game is halting that and work on, not because it's hard, but because life is amazing and we can try and actually make it even more amazing for everybody. So let me read the blame game. Whether out loud or in your head, we've all participated in the blame game. For those who have been on an inner growth journey for some time, they've moved way past the initial phase of this scenario, while others may be still fully immersed. The problem with the blame game is that it keeps you focused on the external, others or situations. It doesn't get you to think about your role and you, your inner self, in a situation. And energy is spent on something outside of you and not in a learning mindset kind of energy, in an energy that repeats itself. And you know, it's funny because all these descriptions point to what the psychiatrists talk about with rumination. I'm not laughing again. This is that laugh like, wow, I knew things that I didn't even know I knew. And now I have the technical terminology to share with you the concept. It's amazing. So rumination, we're going to talk about that for a minute. Here's the blame. So while Jennifer Sweeten is talking about self-blame, blame can be used towards yourself or another. When we do blame, this is a way for a person to exert control. Rationally, you might know it doesn't make sense, but you still will use it. Now, towards yourself, this is where you sometimes will have awareness. If it were somebody else, you would not blame them. And this is for a shame cycle, blame cycle, guilt cycle, which is not going to heal you from the trauma response. You're actually just going to keep triggering and stay in that same emotional state, essentially. When you're blaming others, this is where you are being in your own ego without recognizing that you're a person, others are people, and you're bound to have disagreements, period. The idea that you can be more correct or not, you're taught that by your household, by your culture. It doesn't matter where you got it. It's societal. And guess what? I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but the world doesn't work in, you know, black and white. That's very multicolored. Some people accept it. Some people don't. Most have this wiggle room where they're like, no, these are okay. That no, all of it. All of it. If you're wanting to be 5D, self-empowered, enlightened, all of it. Okay, so the inner growth mindset is focused at this point in talking about how to gain this visibility. Doing things the 5D self-empowered enlightened way is an ending for a reason. So they take the stance of blame because the brain is prioritizing survival in a way that is saying this is safe. Because if you blame yourself or another, there's a level of control. There's a level of safety for the body. And whatever you learn to do, that is something that from your household. You broke the vase. You did it on purpose. These are things that can take place. So being able to be neutral towards those actual experiences will help you to disengage from this blame game and just realize it's human. It's natural. It's okay. We all have an ego. It's okay. We all can learn to be grown-ups with it too. Which is that oneness consciousness, if you want. It's really just recognizing the big ocean with the islands and the poking. Poking is going to lead you to be more of who you want to be. And people say, I am me, but it's the sad guru story about the man being chased around the house by his wife because he got drunk and he came home late or whatever it was that happened. And he's hiding underneath the bed and she says, come out and fight me like a man, or come out and face me, excuse me, like a man. And he says, I am. I'm choosing that I want to stay underneath the bed because I am the man of the house. This is what people can do when they are basically lying to themselves and or using an external. And again, I do know there are things that happen to people, but I'm talking about the ability to have your emotional response in your peripheral view to achieve empowerment. So we are not addressing any specific issue, although I could address those issues with you very calmly. And start already by saying, if you're already thinking about objections to being able to be self-empowered, then you're choosing to disengage from your opportunity to use your prefrontal cortex, to be in a full state of compassion, to stay in what is a hyper or hypo-aroused state, and that would be you staying in that temporal junction where you've experienced those experiences from your ego self with your recognizing of the suffering, your sensations, everything's yours, of your experience that yes has taken place, that you know whatever it looks like, you're still choosing though, if you stay here, not to get you to a place that is called empowerment, which is beginning to go to that prefrontal cortex and name the feeling. I'm feeling very vulnerable, I'm feeling very angry, I'm feeling very sad, I'm feeling very this, that what I'm doing right now, wanting to have somebody to blame or blaming me, is a way that I'm defending. It's a coping mechanism. It's called me trying to be in control and feel safe, which, by the way, the five themes of trauma: safety, power and control, trust, esteem, intimacy. Physiologically speaking, if you're not in compassion and you're in blame, shame, guilt, they are secondary emotions. I'm going to keep reading from Jennifer Sweeten. This is that energetic spectrum. You'll stay in this. These secondary emotions can actually keep people stuck in trauma symptoms. Whereas if you're exploring a primary emotion such as sadness that we can naturally move through, when instead we are blaming ourselves or someone for something, we're going to make it more likely that we ruminate on it and get stuck in this. This is the suffering that Sadhguru explains when he says you're living in the past versus thinking about it. And so you're a psychological case because you're living in a moment in time that is no longer here, or the future. You're getting anxious before something even happens. Psychological case. He breaks it down to the best of his ability to help people understand what that is. So when you are ruminating, the self-blame or just blame is going to be always an attempt for you to control. This hinders your progress in treating a post-traumatic stress disorder, for example. And treating trauma overall, we all have experiences. Some people, they've, for example, gotten left by partners after 14 years, 15 years. And I've seen different numbers of people and their reactions. Most of them are self-empowered. The people that I know are inclined to be self-empowered, or they're taking ownership of their actions. They don't have the victim aspect. Some end up staying in a victim aspect. Those are the ones who definitely have more of a inclined please appease, attach, cry for help, and collapse, submit. So they actually have situations from their nervous system that they've settled into, and they're always in that temporal junction. So they are fusing with their suffering. Instead of moving forward in empowerment, they've honed in on their experiences, and they don't wear them necessarily as badges of honors, but they are victims of the life that happened, and their outlook is that they, you know, potentially just shouldn't be here or have to, you know, go through this darkness and just live it up. It's kind of like the one psychiatrist that talks about suffering as ubiquitous, I think is the word. So it's an always. These people choose to make that their mantra. The nervous system does experience, yes, suffering, but as a Sadhguru has pointed out, or any of the enlightened individual non-dualistic teachers, and even as science is showing, we can turn on and off our own, the epigenetics is this specific that is telling us we turn on and off our genes. But you are working with your heart. So it's if you work with your emotions that you're going to be able and become somebody who can work through that, master it, call it what you will. To me, it's always simply been you can produce love from your own heart. Man, that's all. Like, that's how I looked at it as a kid. That's how I looked at it when I built the Inner Growth Mindset course. It was, okay, you can, through the keys of your own inner growth journey, then follow your own heart, pure and simple. Being yourself is about you being the person you've always been, but being that much richer because you've been able to master the emotional realm, which was not even discussed as. Now we're talking about as consciousness, but it's always been there. It's just people had different types of duality leadership, and they still do. So justifying your triggers is not going to get you to move beyond it. Thinking that there's certain things that should deserve blame isn't going to help you move beyond anything. You're just going to allow yourself to bullshit your way into thinking that you are evolving, enlightening, and really you're just wearing a mantle. You'll be enlightened and in a place of kumbaya with the things you like, and then the things you don't like you're going to define as the devil's work or evil, Knievel, or just, you know, this is what duality is. And that's not 5D. 5D is you finally accessing the oneness consciousness. So self-empowerment comes first, because you're going to access neutrality instead of blaming people. You allow yourself to recognize. So if you're being blamed, you know that that's a person who's in an unsafe body. This is why they're using that. They're trying to maintain a level of safety, power, and control, and they don't trust, and there is not esteem, and there is not the desire of intimacy. Because the minute somebody is accusing you or blaming you is the minute that they've found a fault, which indicates they're in their adaptive child emotional response, which indicates they're in a charged state as well. They're not in the ventral vagal state. The ones that I know that have accepted their fate, they are simply allowing themselves to live those experiences over and over and over again. This is why the karma repeats itself. Because they're throwing it at the world, saying the world is this, and they're going to get it, in fact, back. This is also the mirror neurons. You could relate to it in many different forms. So people that stay in the middle, they keep on living. In fact, those types of ups and downs that people, those who live those realities, say life is made of. Those of us in the 5D, self-empowered, enlightened space, don't live that. Because every time something comes up, we are one, existential cases, so we don't repeat cycles in that sense.
We don't ruminate. That we can see the cycles of energy. Yes, this is a whole different topic for another time, but I've noticed cycles in a year, and I have gained enough of a basis of foundation to understand why it plays out the way it plays out and how it plays out, as well as I can tell you how you can tell when you are, the more you are accessing the soul you are, the life you are, the more everything is always in a state of flow. Like, it's just natural. You see it the second after it happens, you already know it's there, that it was meant to come. But this is because you've learned to be an experience of yourself versus look outside for help. So that lack of predictability, your nervous system is not afraid of it. There's empowerment. You're in the power seat. You, your heart, not the society. Sociology, psychology, existentialism, because the external gave you input of what to be or not to be, but you were a child when that input began. And some didn't teach you how to be emotionally mature, responsible, and some didn't even teach you, because they weren't able to be loving themselves, what it meant to be truly unconditional love. Unconditional love is unbounded. This means you can use blame, fault, but there's always dialogue that comes, and there's always clearing the air. So there's, we had a discussion, let's clear it up. There's always the next day, it's as if nothing happened. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, nobody gets abandoned with unconditional love. Some people don't know this experience, and so they don't believe in it. And you're not going to help them believe in it, because the minute that they will see something that is a trigger to them is the minute that they will disengage from being in a place of trust, esteem, and intimacy with you. This can happen on a one-on-one, on a big group scale. Whenever you see nasty, those individuals are not safe. They're charged states. I'm talking to the ones who want to be equanimous and transformational leaders. And so you will be able to see this, be calm, not have a distorted lens, and not blame. You don't play the blame game. You allow your voice to speak. And because you're seeing the truth, because you're not in your ego distorting the truth based on what you like or dislike, like saying somebody's rude versus realizing that the person's in a charged state, you'll be able to address it with calmness. Like that example of the clerk who served me, was serving me, and this person interrupted us. I had no judgment for this person. I might have as a teenager, because I was taught, don't interrupt. That's a teenager, though. I started to grow up and realized, wait a minute, things happen. And I've interrupted more than once and been called rude. I'm not a rude person. Right here, once you begin engaging in knowing oneness, we can all be rude, we can all not be rude, we can all be assholes, we can all not be assholes. It's all perspective, period. There is no other way you're gonna get to 5D unless you start realizing that it's all perspective. The rules of physics might be what will stand the ground eventually of time, because everything is sound, as the lovely Sadhguru said. Our modern science has said everything is a vibration, and that means everything has a sound. The basic sound is the A, A, U, M, or A, U, M, A, U, M are the words, the spelling out words. And below that is silence, which is nothingness, which is where people find their wisdom. You know, a lot of people, they think they, because they sit in silence, that they're enlightened. And then the minute they're asked to be kind to a person, to be open to talking, is the minute that they're not. And that they actually accuse them of things that are not true. Blame game. Ego. So, silence. What true silence in the way of enlightenment means is actually a level of connectedness to all humanity. That means you do not judge one human being on the face of this planet as being evil Knievel, but you recognize as a functional adult that they will have reactions that may be pleasant or unpleasant, that they could be nasty or unnasty, that the entire human species could be doing a whole bunch of wrong or right things. Equanimity is you in that 5D space, recognizing this and knowing that it's not about blaming. You're not focused on blaming, you're focused on the hurt and the charge states that you see, and how can you help that situation to achieve a harmony that obviously is not present very clearly, because if it were, there would not be charge states. That's ease from within, which is why you'll be completely empowered and of service. And maybe some of you tuning in here, actually pretty sure some of you are already in these states of unconditional love for all humanity, and doing that every day between loved ones, to work, to anything, and allowing yourself to talk about these types of conversations so that we may help people to, in their own timing, in their own way, understand. Now, when you're getting blamed, again, if you're in this place, this means you unconsciously love who you are, which means you know you have flaws and imperfections like any other person does, which means though you'll also stand up for yourself in a kind way, but a firm way, which is going to always play out in different ways. Because if in front of you, you have a person who's already in a threat or life-threatening situation, which is automatic if they're blaming you about something, you're not going to necessarily be able to achieve a middle ground. So that's to be expected. And anytime you've achieved that maturity that I just discussed, you will know that that's a potential, that somebody will react even more accusational. The level can sometimes be quote-unquote shocking, but here, if you remember to disengage from having expectations from loved ones, that's one of the main, or the sub-modules of the first main module, dealing with the unexpected, unwanted. It is relationships. Your relationships are your quality control pokes, as Sadhguru put it, until you achieve neutrality. Once you're in neutrality, they're no longer only quality control. This is where it depends how fast, because it depends how much you really love unconditional love. So how much you actually know that love in its purest form is always unconditional. I just have to add words, because people use this word love only with another individual or only with something that they're passionate about, versus just it's a feeling that you have. You don't need anything to feel love. Pure love is unbound. And that means a person does whatever the fuck they want and you still love them equally. That's it. Very clear to the person who's here in that infinite space. And so when they're being whatever it is that's coming forth, you may have very big unexpected moments. And those are the moments, that's why I'm talking about it, because I know I definitely have been triggered. I never thought it would take place the way it did, because I'm somebody who's aware of not having expectations. I've been so like my entire life pretty much. And in some way, this was not in my peripheral view, but there are also other things I'm not going to bother sharing. They're not important, but I didn't blame. I just had a way of reacting, and then, in fact, there's apologies that took place from those reactions. What I realized was, what the fuck is this trigger? You know, that's what I kind of realized. Like, why is this so destabilizing? It shouldn't be, since there's usually, you know, very tangible. When I say this, what I'm saying is I've always known people have their personalities, so they're going to behave the way they want, because that's what's natural. Realizing that when it's unexpected, it's on you, is the part that you can translate, not by blame. It's on you, meaning you had a visual, you had an idea, you had an expectation. Which is exactly what the empowered person will immediately be aware of. And this is why, for me, the apologies took place. Because I was like, shit, that's what I want. That's what I am. This is me, not them. They have nothing to do with this. The triggers are yours. This is when Sadhguru says all responsibility. An empowered person automatically is taking responsibility. Those of you who might still need to regulate, this is where you feel potentially that this discourse right now is unfair, and that person should be blamed because they caused the trigger. No, these are two different mindsets. That is called the blame game, and that are adaptive, emotionally speaking, children who are still in a nervous system that is reacting with societal engagement. So you're looking outside of yourself for the hug, for the it's okay to be you hug that you did not potentially get, or you did, it doesn't matter, but that reaction is you not in a ventral vagal state. It is not you at ease. the nervous system, okay? That you have a thought that follows up because you've been taught certain concepts such as, but they triggered me, they did this. Once again, it's called the blame game, and it's called the ego, it's called separateness, it's called 3D, 4D, it's called duality, and I can keep on going. And it's not you taking the ability in that moment to tend to what is taking place from within your physiology, which is exactly why you have need-based relationships and you will continue blame game relationships for that. Doesn't mean they're not working out. Many people have these types of toxic relationships and they won't call them toxic because they're not toxic in a way of where it's in the news, okay? To an independent soul, a free soul, to a person who's empowered, any time two and or more people are basically telling each other who to be or what to be, blaming each other, any type of what an empowered person will feel as child's play, and then the audacity though for the adults, because they're now adults, to actually claim right over another human being and blame them. Or for another human being to actually allow another human being to crap on them. However you put it, man, you name it. The free soul, and I've been crapped on for taking the side of the people that are my loved ones, for having intervened because they actually don't even notice that they're in this type of dynamic. So the free soul is who right now is following everything I'm saying. But to our bodies, this is a no, this is not okay. This, whatever that is not okay, because both are suppressing each other, but one is actually having the ability to tell the other that they're wrong versus know that they're all in it together doing the same blame game and really just creating separateness, consciousness over, like throwing shit at each other in this interaction. None of them are in an adult behavior because none of them are emotionally adults, but because adults react that way, they can use their words and they actually get even more charged. I know, but like when I've been told by people that they've gone to defend situations of actual physical aggression between couples and they've gotten slapped instead of being thanked, they've gotten mind your own business and or even accused. The separateness consciousness only exists out of the fact that oneness and separateness, if you guys remember, oneness consciousness, the monad, separate itself, so we have duality, that's what the universe is. When you tap into the infinite, there is way beyond all, but there's no belief system, you don't move beyond. You see all in the way that it is, different types of opportunities for growth for every person, depending on their consciousness, their perspective, their vibration, their dimension, etc., etc. Nobody's blaming anyone when there's a 5D. So anytime you're meeting a person who's behaving a certain way, you know what it means, and you're able to be the grown-up in the room and to address it. And the ability for you not to blame you is also quite there. So you're in neutrality, you're in empowerment, because you know your ego's not to blame, the other people's egos are not to blame, and there can be words to be used to talk about these things. The more you're equanimous, the more you'll talk it out, the more you achieve always harmony, and the more you grow together and you disengage from blaming each other. 1, 2, 3, 10, it doesn't matter how many. The people who are in the relationships that instead allow each other to do the child's play, that is where there's not committing to being a person that gets poked and can speak unconditionally loving words, kindness, can behave. Behave meaning to behave in your actions, not suppressing, to calm yourself and then express. Like I said, it's not the first time around, and usually people that love each other will work together on these things. The people who don't are the very ones who are engaging with charge state consistently, and this regarding the fact that they're both doing it, they're both blaming each other or just saying one is more aggressive than the other, versus focusing on what needs to take place is working together so that they can learn each other's triggers but work to become accepting. Because you know, I see people using the attachment style in a way of justifying where they're at, which actually feels quite restrictive, because the souls of both people are choosing to stay in a specific energy versus allow themselves to emotionally mature. So emotional maturity is forgiveness. It's actually being able to even laugh at each other's quirks, faults, like have a huge discussion and then laugh about it because you both know each other's flaws and imperfections. So you, like my bastard friend, I'm going to use him because like he's a perfect example where he knows when he is upsetting me because he's disregarding that I'm trying to check in on him, see how he's doing. Like he'll completely, he's doing it again now. And then when we get to talk, you know, I'll crap on him a little bit and he'll laugh about it and we'll both laugh about it. And that's that. The ability to be in this place is nothing more than people knowing that we all have personality traits. It's like my empowered peeps that have said, you know, we don't use the phone, so they'll tell me, and I have some they haven't even opened something I've written them for a long time. People who are not empowered will think that that is a lack of love, a lack of respect, a lack of this, a lack of that. Those are all rule book things. That's not the free soul. I'm talking again, 5D free souls, empowered people. We're independent. We're all grown-ups. Everybody has a life. It doesn't indicate not loving somebody. Love is not based on the actions you take. Love is a feeling that you hold. So the people in your life, they're in your life because of the bonds you have with them, and you want them in your life and they want you. It's always going to be two that decide to stick it through the rough patches, because we all have them, right? Mistakes are part of relationships, and a lot of people actually don't enrich themselves with what they've been through. They just build these little conforming rule books and find their we group, and they live happily. But I'm talking to those who want to access that enlightenment soul age group. So they live in contentment, containment for the soul. In fact, like my one lovely friend, he's one perfect example, but he's taken his contentment with gratitude. And so he's in his chosen soul age group. Consciously speaking, he chose to disengage from his intuitiveness by choice. He's told me this. He also doesn't believe in certain things. It's very different from people who actually were very unkind, if you will, when it came to certain experiences I've been through that I shared with them. This friend, even though at one point we had this discussion, because I realized that when they're with me, they weren't saying certain things about their belief with the energies and whatnot. And I said, don't omit, just because I believe in something, you know that I want to hear your opinion. I don't want you to agree with me. Because in societal context, this is where people's true self comes forth. And what I mean by that, and it's not even their true self, but if a person still is living according to the external, which is this friend, they chose not to access their more intuitiveness because they said, I don't want to be any different than what I am. They want to belong. They want to belong to the society, even though they don't consider themselves mainstream. They are a group of mainstream. A we group is going to be mainstream. Average is anything that you are not completely independent. Doesn't mean you're going to be a rebel. Independent is something very, again, freeing. You're going to know if that's the case, because no matter what anybody tells you about you, you're in equanimity. You're okay with them using whatever words. It's not something that triggers anything. Your heart is in love with the moment. Actually, you know, wow, they're sharing their own idea of life. How wonderful. What a gift I'm getting. I'm getting some other person's perspective. That is a life-sensitive person who knows their worth. They accept themselves and humanity with differences. There's no blaming. Nobody is ever at fault. When mistakes happen, there are no faults. It happens. We are all imperfect. So this friend, I know exactly why I've told them what I know and why they are choosing to commit to this middle ground, but they know this about themselves. They know where they're at. So this conversation, I got a little bit pissed because I said, dude, I told you already once. I don't need you to pretend. I want you to be you. You not telling me these things when I'm talking to you about topics that aren't of interest to you is not how I want us to spend our time. We should be spending time together to talk about things that interest both of us, not just me. And so I kind of set them quote unquote straight again. And I think this time, you know, again, there's always going to be bound learning about each other, and there's always going to be working it through when people aren't blaming. I didn't blame him. I just said, you just did a whole spiel on you not believing in God, not believing in energy. I talked to you about ascension. I talked to you about this and that, and you didn't once tell me, Maria, I don't want to hear it. And it's because he was trying to be, once again, that politeness. And I'm like, dude, I don't want formalities. This is not what friendship is. You need to tell me straight up. Otherwise, there's no what are we talking about here? So I said, you don't need to be polite. You still haven't gotten the memo. I don't need politeness. The only people who need politeness are still ego-sensitive people, okay? Biological rudeness, quote-unquote, it's not even biological rudeness. A 5D body actually knows that that body feels unsafe. It's like being in the face of a child. You don't think of them as a child because you see them as an adult, but you know that their reaction is something that is not in an emotional place of maturity. Otherwise, they'd be able to use their words. There is a lot of neutrality versus the blame game. The blame game doesn't bring neutrality. It brings people to just stay in certain states. So the example of this friend is actually ideal to close out this episode. The talk served well, and we've moved beyond that area, and now we talk a little bit about more things that interest both of us instead of me using our time together to talk about things that don't. Their contentment is accepted, which is very much felt. I can feel that they're at peace with it. I can also feel their higher potential, but they didn't want to be different because they want to belong. And at the very least, by taking ownership of them wanting to belong versus blame society, blame the world, they do that a little bit. They have certain moments where they're talking about humanity as stupid and whatnot, but that's just something the average does. And they want to be part of that. They, even though they don't consider themselves average, they are part of the average of humanity that thinks of themselves as highly intellectual compared to all other people, and that, you know, humans are lazy and they're not going to change. And this is a very standard, average, mainstream thought that people who are empowered, they're self-empowered, yes, they take ownership, but they're not in 5D and they're not in enlightenment, but they are self-empowered. And they actually think of themselves as above, quote unquote, because of that ownership. Because instead of being compulsive like others are, they take ownership of their mistakes and they're able to talk about it and not blame and, you know, things of that nature. But other than that, they still are in a we group of sorts. So we'll keep on talking about more in part two. In the meantime, I look forward to hearing from you. And if some of you don't tune back in, it was nice having you here. Have a wonderful day. Sending you all lots of love, hugs, and smiles.